Chapter 4. Sir Henry Baskerville Goes Home. We said goodbye to Holmes at Waterloo Station the next morning. Holmes once again told Sir Henry not to go onto the moors, and he said that I should carry my gun with me. At last the train arrived at the moors. The countryside looked dark and frightening. The carriage from Baskerville Hall was there for us at the station. Soon we were driving along the narrow roads. We turned a corner and saw a soldier standing in the road. He carried a rifle. We stopped the carriage, and Dr. Mortimer asked the soldier what he was doing.
"A dangerous prisoner escaped 3 days ago,"
the soldier explained.
"His name is Selden."
I remembered the name from the newspaper stories. He was a cruel murderer. Now it began to grow dark and windy. It was cold as well. Finally, we arrived at Baskerville Hall. It was a large house, and not a very cheerful one. Barrymore came onto the steps of the hall to welcome us.
"Welcome home, Sir Henry,"
he said. We ate together in the dining room, and the family pictures of the Baskervilles looked down on us from the walls. The atmosphere was not very happy. After dinner, I went to bed, but it was difficult to sleep. Suddenly, I heard the sound of a woman. She was crying desperately. I told Sir Henry about the woman the next morning. He sent for Barrymore, and he asked the butler about it. I noticed that Barrymore went white in the face before he answered.
"There are two women in the house, sir,"
he told Sir Henry.
"One of them is the maid. The other is my wife. Mrs. Barrymore was not crying last night."
I knew that Barrymore was lying. I saw his wife later in the morning, and her face was red. She looked very sad. I did not understand why Barrymore did not tell the truth, and I felt suspicious of him. I decided to go to the post office to ask some questions about the telegram that Holmes had sent from London. I found the boy who delivered the telegrams. "There was a telegram for Mr. Barrymore from London yesterday," I reminded him. "Did you give it to Mr. Barrymore yourself?"
"No, sir,"
the boy replied.
"They told me Mr. Barrymore was up in the loft. I gave the telegram to Mrs. Barrymore."
"I see," I said. "Did you see Mr. Barrymore in the loft?"
"No, I didn't,"
the boy admitted.
"But his wife told me he was there."
Now it was impossible to tell if Barrymore was the passenger in the taxi or whether he stayed at Baskerville Hall that day. I was walking away from the post office when a man stopped me. He told me that his name was Stapleton and that he was a friend of Dr. Mortimer. He had a butterfly net with him.
"You must be Dr. Watson,"
he said.
"Dr. Mortimer told me about you. I know that you're also a friend of the great detective Sherlock Holmes. Is he going to come here as well?"
"I'm afraid not," I replied. "Sherlock Holmes is working on another case in London."
"What a pity,"
Mr. Stapleton said politely.
"Still, I hope you'll come home with me and meet my sister. She'll be pleased to see you."
I accepted Mr. Stapleton's invitation. We walked to his house together. Stapleton told me a little about himself. He said that he and his sister had moved to the moors 2 years ago. He liked the moors, he said.
"Look over there,"
he pointed.
"That place is called Great Grimpen Marsh. If an animal or a man goes there, they never come out. The ground is very soft, and they sink down inside it. But I know how to cross the moors safely,"
he told me proudly.
"There are some paths among the marshes."
While Mr. Stapleton was talking, I saw a horse on the edge of the marsh. The poor animal was half under water. It struggled furiously to get free, but the water closed over its head.
Another one dead,
Stapleton commented sadly.
It happens all the time on the moors, Dr. Watson.
Then we heard a terrible cry over the marshes. It was a very deep and sad cry. I looked at Stapleton in surprise. What was that? I asked him.
People say that that is the hound of the Baskervilles,
he told me. You don't surely believe in the stories about the hound of the Baskervilles, Mr. Stapleton? I asked him in surprise. You're an educated man.
I think it was a bird. There are some very rare birds on the moors.
Just then a butterfly flew past us. Mr. Stapleton ran after it with his net. He ran straight onto the marsh. He was not afraid. I was watching him when a beautiful young woman with dark skin and eyes came up to me.
Go back to London,
she said quietly.
Shh! Don't say a word. My brother's coming back.
Mr. Stapleton came off the marsh and joined us. He did not seem pleased that we were talking together.
Hello, dear,
he said to his sister.
I see that you have met our guest.
Yes,
she replied.
I told Sir Henry that the marsh is not very beautiful at this time of year.
I'm not Sir Henry, I corrected her. I'm Dr. Watson, a friend of his. The woman looked embarrassed.
Please forget what I told you,
she said very quietly. The three of us walked to their house, Merripit House. Stapleton talked about his love for the moors. He told me about the animals and plants that fascinated him in that part of the country. We talked together for a while, and then I left them to go back to Baskerville Hall. Miss Stapleton was waiting for me, further down the road.
Please forget what I said,
she said again.
I did not mean anything terrible.
But do you believe Sir Henry is in danger? I asked her.
I believe in the story of the Hound of the Baskervilles,
she told me.
That is why I said what I did.
Why didn't you want your brother to hear what you said? I persisted.
My brother wants Sir Henry to live at Baskerville Hall,
she explained.
He does not want Sir Henry to go away because of these silly stories. That's why he does not want me to talk about the Hound of the Baskervilles.